Okay, hi, we're in Illegal Jacks in Lothian Road, and I'm here with Paris and Emma, who both contributed to the blog this week. They're going to talk us through what they wrote and what feedback they got, if any, as well, and how they felt it looks, because it's an open page, really, and there's a link underneath this audio clip that says how to contribute, so click that if you want to follow in their footsteps. So, Paris, what did you put up this week?
Well, I wrote a couple of pieces. One was about fire safety advice in light of all the sort of major dramatic flat fires that have happened over Christmas in Edinburgh. And the second piece was about sort of looking at what the Green Investment Bank might entail for Edinburgh if, as is speculated, it comes to the city.
There's loads of people in Edinburgh that work in banks, but this place isn't going to create many jobs, somebody told you. Who told you that?
Well, I spoke to Edinburgh Chambers of Commerce and to Mike Crock, our MP, a Liberal Democrat for Edinburgh West, who's been probably campaigning the most for the Green Investment Bank to come to Edinburgh. And both of them were really sort of realistic about the prospects for job creation. It's only £1 billion of investment, which sounds like a lot, but compared to major financial institutions, it's a drop in the ocean. And they said that, you know, a dozen jobs isn't, you know, is probably a reasonable figure. I think what came out of it that was interesting was that if it comes to Edinburgh, it would fit into an existing tapestry of green industry and development that's sort of already started and a lot more is planned. A lot of it's based around leaf docks.
I've got a challenge. Can you sum up a green investment bank in 30 seconds?
Well, no, because people that I spoke to at the various departments, business, innovation, and skills, and at the energy department, they don't know what this is going to look like yet, because they're still in discussions and putting together the policy on it, and the announcement's not going to be made until May. So I don't think even they would be able to put together a 30-second pitch, but the gist, as sort of as advertised by its advocates like Mike Crockart, is that it's going to take the money that's invested in it and try and multiply it by attracting private investment to initiatives like Paloma's. It's supposed to act as a sweetener for private investment rather than being an institution that hands out a lot of money in itself. The piece about fire safety, it seemed like the Lothian and Borders Fire Brigade were trying to get this message out, and they would be quite keen to participate and to contribute to a piece. So I thought, you know, that was a good angle to a good avenue to go down.
And you used a little widget on there too. How did you get on with that?
Dippity. I had some trouble with that myself. it's something I'd never used before, but it worked really well. It seems like a really attractive and easy to use way to archive press clippings on a given issue, say, and then put them in a timeline. So I think it looked really attractive on the page as well. And you can add images, audio, video. It's definitely something I'll use again, because I really like the look of it. While putting the piece together, I just having this surreal conversation with the community safety officer about, you know, what to do if you're planning to jump from a window.
So doing that blog post for Guardian Edinburgh might save your life one day.
I'll definitely, if it does, I'll definitely be back in touch, and I'll have a lot of thank yous to give out.
And if there's a fire, don't forget to take photos and send them in.
Should I give my email address? Or?
You've been working on some other stuff this week.
Yes.
Anything you can tell us about?
Yes. I'm hoping to have some other posts up on a successful startup art magazine that was founded by students in Edinburgh and is now sort of taken off internationally, looking at perhaps the biggest oil company that you haven't heard of yet, which is based right here in Edinburgh, and, you know, who could be a household name by the end of the year if things go their way. And I'm also looking at the difficulties faced by local rugby teams who have had a very difficult winter because of the weather cancelling a lot of games.
Are you into football, Emma?
No.
All right, tell us about you treated yourself to a birthday present last week, didn't you?
I met Vic Galloway at Boda.
How do you go about setting up an interview with a Radio 1 DJ?
Text around a few people and say, has anyone got this guy's number?
Yeah, it's all about who you know, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I got David Byrne from a band called Baron C, a band that the Galloways been quite passionate about. They all know each other, so tried my luck there, and that was it. Had the number, texted him a week later, he leaves a message on my phone asking me to meet him, which is a very surreal moment.
Yeah, you wrote that you were quite a big fan of his, but how did you find interviewing him?
When he came into the place, I was a little... I thought, oh God, I'm going to crap my pants. I'm terrified. And then, he starts talking, and it's just like, you're just two ordinary people chatting about something that you both love. Well, I actually spotted a poster that he had with him that he was getting framed, and that was for a night that he had put on at South by Southwest. He's obviously takes pride in the work that he does, and I got to see some of the names on it, and Cameron Skura were up there as well, and he kept talking about Las Vegas, and he's very passionate about music in Scotland right now, because there's so much and it's a rich abundance of all the different genres, and you kind of feel like there's enough here to kind of concentrate on, but then you think, oh no, you've got loads of stuff coming out of Norway, you've got loads of stuff coming out of France, and then you've got obviously South by Southwest, that's where everyone goes, to make something of themselves, because if you can get a shot in there, then people start to kind of notice you, and that was one of the things that we were just discussing.
So he's an expert on all, music from all over, not just Scotland.
Yeah, he kind of is. It's just the passion that drives him.
Yeah, I loved his story about how he just sent a cassette in to BBC. Did he say what was on it?
He didn't say what was on it, no, but I asked him how he kind of started up, because, a guy of that standing, where did he come from? He must have done something, and no, he just, like he said, he went in and out of a lot of different jobs and the Dole and stuff, and it was just his love for music that kind of made him who he is today, and obviously with that kind of enthusiasm, it's very infectious.
You're not a music promoter unless you plug your gigs, so go for it.
I'm working with another promoter just now, Stephen Gibbons, from a band called Must Be Something. And he's trying his hand at a few other things, which is the promoting. And actually working with him has been pretty cool, because I find that a lot of the pressure has been taken off myself. And because he's based in Glasgow, he has more of an impact on the music that's around there as well. So we both put on this gig at the Captain's Rest on the 5th, and it's called Roses and Violins, and it's a Valentine's kind of theme thing. We've got acts from Black and White Boy, that's their first kind of Glasgow debut thing. Stephen Kemp, Christopher Rogers, and Debbie Morton from Aerials Up, so she's headlining. She supported Pearl and the Puppets recently at Oran Mór, so it's pretty good having all these new people come together. So it's very exciting, it's very fresh and very new. So I'm excited to see how it all goes.
Okay, feel free to write up a blog post and let us know. thanks guys for what you've done this week.
Thank you.